It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. At 2:30, why do September 24th and 25th matter? Some interesting holidays and birthdays that you'll just have to stay tuned for. And in mere minutes, we continue getting you D-gens ready for the football gambling weekend with our guy Sam Panayotovich, a.k.a. Jamie P. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number three. Hope you're having a good Friday. Again, it's your last day to get registered at hornfm.com for those Cowboys-Eagles tickets. Go check that out, hornfm.com. The Ryder Cup team is out there in Whistling Straits. They've got the lead, 3-1. Let's check in on what's going on now. Americans up 2-0 through 6 in the Johnson-Schauffele match. DeChambeau and Scheffler, it's all tied through 5. 4 holes done, and Finau and English are tied. It's also tied between Cantlay and Thomas. They're taking on Fleetwood and Hovland. So 3 of those matches very close. 2-0 for the Americans on the other, and a 3-1 lead. If you don't know how this works in the stuffy world of golf, the European team needs 14 points to keep the cup. The United States needs 14.5 points to take it back. That's how it works. 28 points up for grabs, and they let you keep the cup if you can get a tie. So that's the advantage of being the last team to win it. So we got that. We've also got Christian McCaffrey out for at least 3 games for the Carolina Panthers. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline and talk to our man, Sammy P. He's at SP Shoot on Twitter. He's a betting analyst for Nesson. He is the host of the Chicken Dinner podcast, and he is a man with a dream. Sammy, how are you?
I love when you explain soccer, Chad. I love it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So the dream you have is about Presbyterian. Let's just go ahead and start there. Are you any closer to your dream for this Presbyterian team that can't stop scoring?
Okay, so for those that don't remember last week, we were talking about the Presbyterian total. They were playing Campbell, and that total, I believe, on Friday afternoon was like 64. By Saturday morning, it was 68. By Saturday afternoon, it was 74. And by Saturday night, it was 80.
Wow.
We're like, yo, go hammer it whenever it pops. It ended up opening 61, closing about 77. So it moved 16 points. And I don't know if you saw, I was updating Trey the play-by-play. I know Trey was dying to know what Presbyterian was doing. They lost 72-0.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, but it went over. I mean, it went over.
That's
like
what matters
all
here.
Those. Yeah, it went over all those early numbers. If you waited until Saturday night and bet over 80, you lost. But okay. That's your fault for not listening to Shirts and Skins. They punted one time. One time they punted. It was 4th and 20 at their own 5, and the quarterback like pooched it because they don't have a punter. So I'm looking at this total now. It's going to start popping in the next, like, 12 hours around the country. But only one book has it up right now. They're playing Dayton, and the total is 65.5. I promise you it will be in the high 70s tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon by kickoff.
Where's the one book, Sam?
It's not in America. It's in the islands, as they call it. It's in Costa Rica. The book's called 5 Dimes.
Did you say it's...
What happens is... Yeah, Costa Rica.
Okay. Did you say 65.5?
Yeah, that's the number right now. Well, here's the thing. These books are in such a precarious situation because they've never had to make totals on a college football team that doesn't punt and kicks onside after every score. Like, you don't know what you're doing as a bookmaker. So they're really guessing as to what this number should be. And as you know, and you can figure out, if a book, like, say Las Vegas opens this up tonight or tomorrow morning and they put a 73 in, there's going to be so much money on under 73, they're going to write it down to 68 anyway. Started in the mid-60s, they're going to write it up from there, but this will be a number. I'm not even kidding. This 73 and through 74, and it's going to get up there, but you want to get it as soon as you can. It's Presbyterian and Dayton, and like, this could very well 21. You know, like, that's not out of the equation.
That is freaking awesome. All right, Sam, here in Austin, the Longhorns start conference play hosting Texas Tech. They were somewhere around 8 or 9 points the last time I checked in terms of how much Texas was favored by. Do you like that one way or the other, or the over-under for Longhorns Red Raiders?
Well, let me fall on the sword. I thought the under was a good move. Remember I said Rice wasn't going to score a lot? Well, the total was 52. Texas got there by themselves. You know, 58-0. So, like, you get it wrong, but you get it right, kind of. This is a very similar situation to what we saw week number one against Lafayette, where Texas opened up about 10.5, 11, and the money came against Texas. Remember, Lafayette got bet down to like 8.5, 8. Well, now we're seeing an 8 at the Westgate in Vegas, 8.5 at the South Point, 9 at DraftKings, 9 at Caesars. So this spread has crossed through 10, but I'm going to say what I said against Lafayette. Like, I feel like this is a good buy low on Texas here because you get the bottom of the number. You know, I don't know that I wanted to lay 10, 10.5, 11 with Texas at home against the Raiders, but now that I can lay 8 or 8.5, all of a sudden I'm more interested because if I win by 10, I win. You know, like laying 10, 10.5, you got to win by 11 or more. It might not sound like a big move from 10.5 down to 8, 8.5, but it is because you go through that big number, 10. So, I mean, I liked what I saw out of the Longhorns defense last week. Obviously, Rice sucks, so we have to try and take from that what we can. But Texas Tech, like, I feel like the number in this game is 10. It should be 10. Like, why do I keep thinking it's like 38-28 Texas? That seems like a pretty fair final score, and that sort of lines up with the total. I think it's a higher scoring game, and the number's telling you that. But I like Texas here under anything, you know, -8, -8.5, -9. Anything under 10, I think it's a decent bet.
Talking with Sammy P, the betting analyst for Nesson. And again, if you're on Twitter, at SP Shoot, give him a follow. All right, Sammy, please tell me this is a misprint. Please tell me Trey sent me bad information and you're not messing around with Rutgers plus anything this week against Michigan. Tell me you're not messing with this game.
I thought you said Michigan. Did you say, weren't you making fun of people last week that said Michigan was back?
Well, that's Michigan being back or not is one thing, but Rutgers and this game the last few years is the one thing Michigan has figured out, right?
I think last year, wasn't it 52-45 in Piscataway? I think Rutgers played them actually pretty close last year. That game almost had 100 points.
All right.
Yeah, you're nervous when you go up against Michigan. Like I like Rutgers, but I'm also nervous as hell. In fact, I might do a shot for every Rutgers touchdown just to get the juices flowing.
Right.
Rutgers is 3-0. They've also covered all three games, and they actually tackle, unlike any of the teams that Michigan has played so far. I mean, they've played Western Michigan, Northern Illinois. You know, Washington can't move the football this year. So I think it's more of a fade of Michigan's resume than it is of Michigan, if that makes any sense. Of course Michigan can win this game 35-7, but if you're going to give me 20.5 points with a point total of 49.5, I like my chances there, man. Like, that math tells me I need Rutgers to score like 17 or 20 points, and they've got a senior quarterback. Greg Schiano has started to bring in more skill and speed than most people realize. Michigan's defense hasn't seen any team with a downfield threat, and Rutgers has a couple guys who can get on the field and stretch the defense. Michigan's going to score a little bit in this game, but so is Rutgers. I think it's going to be like, you know, 35-17, 31-14. Like, I like that 20.5, man. And not to mention, Michigan also has Wisconsin on deck next week at Camp Randall. So if they go up three scores, third, fourth quarter, is Harbaugh really going to risk injury and run this stuff up? I don't think so. I think Rutgers is getting disrespected here, and I'll take all those points.
And Tulane is 3.5-point favorites against UAB. Why do you like Tulane here?
So, interesting situation. Tulane and their starting quarterback are essentially parting ways. Tyler Johnston is their starter, was their starter, I guess you should say. He's not playing anymore. So we found that out, and we bet on Tulane. Thing is, some of these people that make top ratings, the backup is even better. To which I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, the backup at UAB is better than the starter? How does the coach have a job? You know, like, what's going on here? I also am not scared of the backup quarterback at UAB. So there's been a fight on the number on UAB's backup quarterback potentially being better than the starter. I'm like falling asleep listening to people tell me how to back up. You like, what's going on here? So, look, Tulane looked really good against Oklahoma week number one. They got railroaded against Ole Miss, which is going to happen a lot this year. But Tulane, I think, facing a backup quarterback at home, 3.5. I like that quite a bit. But I'm getting opposition from a lot of people in the market that somehow believe that UAB's backup quarterback is better than their starter. I'll believe that when I see it, man. I'm sorry. I'm not biting that bait.
All right, Sammy, you took the Rutgers situation on a plus side. What about this Iowa game? Minus 23? You're going to mess around with the Hawkeyes minus 23? Walk me through it.
I love how Chad always just comes at me like these picks are wrong before we even – he's like, what are you doing? You're laying 23? I made the game 28, to be perfectly honest. Colorado State, they're without their top wide receiver, Dante Wright. He didn't play last week either against Toledo. Colorado State is going to struggle to score. They're not going to run on Iowa because nobody runs on Iowa. Indiana couldn't run on Iowa. So Colorado State's not going to run. Their only hope was to maybe get a broken play down the field and get the ball to Dante Wright. But the reports that I've sort of uncovered are that he's not going to play. So you're asking an offense, that's already facing an uphill battle against Iowa to go into Iowa and score like 10, 13 points. 35-3, 38-7, 42-10. These are scores that I keep coming up with. Iowa's going to run them to death, and Colorado State's not going to score a lot. So, yeah, the number's big, but I don't think it's big enough.
Gotcha.
All right, switching over to the NFL side of things. Now, this isn't one of your money picks this week, but I do want to get your thoughts on the big matchup of the NFL weekend. What do you think about the Bucks hosting the Los Angeles Rams? I'm sorry, that game is in Los Angeles. What do you think about Rams-Bucks, though?
Might as well be in Florida, though, Trey, because there's no home field for the Rams. I mean, this might be a 50-50 split. As far as fans go, because the Rams just don't have a lot of fans in Los Angeles, and we've learned that over the last couple of years. Rams open minus one, 1.5, and now we're seeing Tampa as a small favorite. So there's been some support for the Buccaneers. I just have this image of Tom Brady being sacked by Aaron Donald late in this game. I don't know why. Like, I didn't bet this game, and I really don't have to play it, so I won't. But I would be careful thinking that Tampa Bay is a layup here because – you know, the two best defensive players maybe on the entire field are on the Rams side with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. Those are two weapons that Tom Brady is going to struggle with, and we also don't know with this whole COVID thing, right? I mean, we saw COVID around Antonio Brown. Does that mean this guy has it? Does somebody else have it? Like, I don't touch COVID games. I haven't in a long time, especially going back to last year. Because, you know, yeah, the quarterback's got it, and then all the quarterbacks have it, or they're tracing or whatever. So I don't want to bet Tampa Bay in this spot. The move came on the Bucs because everybody bets the Bucs every single week. So it's nothing surprising. I lean to the Rams, but I'm going to stay far, far away from this one.
Sammy P., betting analyst for Nesson. Remember, check out the Chicken Dinner podcast as well. All right, Sammy, I'm a Cowboys fan, so when the Niners and Packers get together, I hate everybody. Tell me why you like the Niners.
Well, the Packers can't stop the run, and the Packers also really are struggling on the offensive line. We saw that Jenkins, their starting left tackle, he's hurt. He might not play. Green Bay was already starting two rookies on the offensive line. So potentially you're playing three replacement-level players in front of Aaron Rodgers against Bosa and those animals on the D-line. So that's not great for starters for Green Bay.
No.
On Sunday night, Dan Campbell was rushing the ball successfully. They had 110 rushing yards against Green Bay, and then they decided geniusly to start handing the ball to Jared Goff and letting him throw. That was a disaster. So Shanahan is not a guy who's going to play to his weaknesses. He's going to play to his strengths. I think they're going to run the lights out of Green Bay's defense. Green Bay just not right, not healthy up front on the offensive or defensive lines. And this could be a bad spot. Also, this would be a very public underdog. The public loves Aaron Rodgers in prime time, especially when he's catching points. I'd be careful with this one on Green Bay.
Interesting.
Philly and Dallas finish week three of the NFL. And you actually like the total points here. Why are you going over 51 for the Eagles and Cowboys?
Yeah, piggybacking on last week's Cowboys pick. He took the 3.5 with Dallas, and they Mike McCarthy did what Mike McCarthy does. He settled for a 56-yard field goal with 3 seconds to go, which, oh, my God, what a nightmare. But really, I mean, these two teams are about pace and speed and tempo. And when you go back to that Cowboy-Charger game, there were like 800 yards of offense, but only 37 points. You had the bad turnovers. Herbert threw a pick in the end zone. When you get bad turnovers and things like that, it obviously doesn't help the total. But because there was a little bit of regression, Dallas and Philly scored a lot in week one, didn't score a lot in week two. So we have a pretty decent number of 51.5. I've got this thing like 30-27. Brandon Graham for the Eagles, torn Achilles. He's their best pass rusher. The best pass rushers for the Cowboys are still not playing. DeMarcus Lawrence is out for a while. Who's putting pressure on the quarterbacks? The only thing I need in this game, boys, I need a horse to set the pace. I need somebody to score in the first 5-6 minutes, get a touchdown, get the offenses moving. This is going to be, I think, a shootout in Dallas, Dome Stadium, weather not an issue, and it's Monday Night Football, so the refs are going to take over and throw flags all night. This is going to be an over. We're going to get there, I think, pretty easily.
Interesting stuff.
Great points on the pass rushers, by the way.
Yeah, hadn't thought about that angle. All right, Sammy, before we let you go, let's finish where we started with Presbyterian. Let me make sure I'm hearing you correctly. Are you telling me that a college football team beat another team 72-0, but the team that lost refused to punt but like just one time? Is that what you said? They lost 72-0, but they still didn't punt?
They punted one time with the quarterback, and they had to punt because it was 4th and 20 at their own 5. Like, at that point, you have to. But there were a couple times in that game. Yeah, Presbyterian was like 4th and 6 at their own 30. They go for it, man. So there are plenty of short fields. And like I said, if Presbyterian scores in this game, they onside kick. They don't kick it deep. This guy is a maniac.
Yeah.
And take advantage of that while you can, because these books, they haven't caught up to this pace yet in this style.
Sam, are you actually watching these games somewhere, or are you calling the press box for updates? Because you really were updating me in real time.
What you need me to do? I'm actually going to Red Sox Yankees tomorrow, but I will be glued to the Presbyterian game. I'm telling you, this total is 65.5 right now. Watch it tomorrow. It's going to be in the 70s, I promise you.
That is unreal. Sammy, we always appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, see you.
Sam, great.
Man, that is, like, talk about fully committing to what you've done there. It means the administration has to be comfortable with that guy as their coach. Mm-hmm. When you're winning, it's one thing. Then you're just making the other side mad. You're losing 72-0. You have not scored a point. No matter what happens, you don't punt. Down 50-something-0.
Well, you don't punt. No matter what, but it takes being backed up on your own 5 with a 4th and 20, and your quarterback pooch kicks it.
See, that's what I'd ask. Like, wait, hold on.
The quarterback may have done that on his own, by the way. I don't even know if the coach called that on his own. The quarterback may have just been like, screw this, I've got to punt the football.
See, he may have, because if I'm the administration there, I double down and I tell the coach, well, we can't have you punting. If you're you can't punt, not even on 4th and 20. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're already eating 60 or 70 point losses. That's nuts. I've heard plenty about those guys. I never dreamed that one of those guys would stick with it down 70.
That's wild.
That's crazy. But keep your eye on Presbyterian and check out Nesson. Sammy is a betting analyst for Nesson. And again, he is the host of the Chicken Dinner podcast at SP Shoot on Twitter, if you want to give him a follow. All right, up next, let's talk about September 24th and why it matters.
I need to ask you a question.
Yes?
About Jedis.
Oh, a question about Jedis coming up. Also, a comment on high school girls and how they seem to, you know, not change in age or somebody. Anyway, we'll go over it on the horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
There we go. You got to get in a certain mood. Got to get some percussion going. The Glamorous Life. This would be Sheila E., right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, another one you got to wonder what the problem is. What's wrong with Sheila E., man?
I don't know.
There's some talent going on there.
I don't know if this song was in one, but if not, it's a damn shame it wasn't in a 1980s Eddie Murphy movie.
This was a catchy-ass tune. And back in the day, I'm going to say 15 times a day. 15 times a day in its normal run. This was a time of MTV. They didn't have as much. What year? What year are we talking? You got
I think 84, I think.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say 85, but if it's 84, you're only 3 years into MTV. Still hadn't built up that.
Say Sheena E.
Sheila E. Playing the drums.
Sheila E.
I'll tell you what, I'm a drum guy. When somebody that looks like that can play drums like that, that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my life at that point.
Yeah.
This video, I'm like, wait, there's a, huh? A woman, that, what? Can play drum? What? Oh, it was awesome. Sheila E.
She's like the female Don Henley.
Oh, get her on tour, man. Get her on tour as soon as possible. I never saw Sheila E. live. I wish I could say I had. All right. Thanks to Isaiah Collier for producing, getting us the great music. Christian McCaffrey out a few games. But Carson Wentz has been able to practice. Yeah, it just ain't fair in football sometimes. Both ankles all taped up and ready to go for Carson Wentz. He tried to practice a little bit. In Wisconsin, it is still 3-1 USA over Europe. Let's check those matches here. Two up for the United States in a match and one tied, and then Europe up in two other matches. And Trey, what did we hear that Smart Hulk, Mr. DeChambeau, did today?
A drive that was nearly 420 yards.
Nice.
I mean, he absolutely crushed this thing.
That is awesome. I'm assuming he had a little wind helping.
Maybe, but maybe. He still had to hit it over a lot of rough to get there.
That's awesome. He's teamed up with Scottie Scheffler, the Longhorn, today.
Oh, cool.
And I heard Scheffler talking about his first Ryder Cup and what it was going to be like, what he should expect. They are tied through six holes, U.S. with a 3-1 lead, needing 14.5 to take that cup back from those dirty, no-good Europeans.
I went to the final day of the Ryder Cup in Medina.
Oh.
Which is in the Chicagoland area.
Right.
It was a lot of fun, except it was one of those Ryder Cups where Europe made a massive comeback on the final day.
So
I got to watch them celebrating going up the 17th to the 18th green as we were trying to leave.
That's not good. Did you drink up since you were near Chicago?
No, it was weird. We got a good spot next to the 16th green, so we got to see Tiger Woods pass by at one point, some other well-known golfers, but you're kind of stuck there. Like, when you're in a spot like that, like, one guy can maybe go get beers, but you really need two guys to go to get three people beers. So it was a bit of a quandary.
Beer math.
Well, you only get, you get two per person.
Oh,
so
right.
One guy can't go and even get one beer for everybody.
I gotcha. All right. Okay, we should have an interesting Why Today Matters, because I think Trey has a question for me. I now have a question for Trey, plus there's a big anniversary. So let's go September 24th here.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists.
Yeah.
Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
We should really do this segment with our noses plugged.
Especially if you sound like that guy.
Special shout out for Sinus and Snoring.
That's right. Trust me, you want to go see Dr. Slaughter in Sinus and Snoring if you sound like that guy. All right, let's just throw it out here. Dazed and Confused was released on this day in 1993.
Great day.
Legendary movie, filmed right here in the Austin area, and it's good every time I watch it.
Linklater's second film. I read a book, it was about a year ago, and interviewed the author for Books on Pod. I think we played part of that on this show, too.
We did, yep.
And it was a very entertaining conversation. She did a great job of going back and speaking with a number of people who partook in Dazed and Confused. Linklater, a bunch of actors, a bunch of other behind-the-scenes people. They had a blast filming, as you can imagine. They were staying at, was it the Hotel San Jose or the Austin Motel on South Congress? Anyhow, it was a bit chaotic because it was a bunch of teenagers and some people in their early 20s all playing high schoolers, of course. The Style Switch location on North Lamar, that's where the Emporium scenes were filmed.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. I didn't realize that until a couple weeks ago either, and I saw somebody sharing pictures of what the space looks like now and what it looked like back when Linklater and the crew and cast were filming there.
So you're saying that's where they did the pool and where McConaughey's standing outside, the line about the high school girls and all that, that's at that spot.
Yep.
See, I always, obviously we focus in on Top Notch so much because they do the drive-through thing and it's so legendary, but I didn't realize that other location. Yeah. That's awesome.
Great film, though. Still one of the best films about that era done 20-plus years later.
No doubt. Yeah, and it was done as a 70s movie about 20 years after the time period. Dazed and Confused, great music in the movie. Definitely one to check out if you haven't seen it.
And really taken from Rick's experience growing up in East Texas, I want to say, because he had a couple of buddies who literally shared the same names as characters, a couple of whom tried to sue him years later because they claimed that it was keeping them from getting jobs or it soiled their reputation in, I think it was Huntsville maybe. Huh. Anyhow, I think that they may have dropped that lawsuit by now, and I hope they did too. I mean, they if somebody's really holding that grudge against them for what they were like as high schoolers in the 1970s, those people need to get a grip.
Someone was thinking when you thought of Sheila E., you might have been thinking of Sheena Easton. Both very talented, both attractive, but Sheila E.'s the drummer, Sheena Easton just a singer.
I clearly need to bone up on my 1980s pop rock slash music stars.
Best Sheena Easton song based on any quality you could look at?
Touch Myself?
Sugar Walls.
Oh.
Easy. There's no doubt. Go listen to that song. You want to talk about double entendre that's not very doubled? That's not trying that hard? Sheena Easton. Go check it out.
About like a Kiss song, huh?
Oh,
hey,
my God.
A birthday tomorrow that I think matters to you. Mark Hamill's birthday is tomorrow.
That's right. Luke Skywalker will turn 70 tomorrow.
70 years old tomorrow, and that begs a question for me. I need you to power rank the Jedis, Chad. Give me your top five.
Power ranking the Jedis. Let's see. So, power ranking the Jedis. That is solid. We got to go with, Vader's got to be one.
One?
Vader's got to be one.
He's a bad guy.
He is, but he was the only one who was ever fully committed. Now, he eventually gave in, but he was fully committed for a lot of the time. I know some people might want to put Yoda up high, but I got to put Yoda at about a 3 because he should have known, he should have realized, and he could have fixed it all, and he didn't. He was lazy.
What should he have realized?
Well, you know, he should have realized
that Vader was Vader.
Yeah, before in the early ones that you don't need to watch. It's awful stuff. He was the first Jedi to show us that Jedis just run away. They get scared and they run away. That's what they do. We'll put him at the 3 spot.
I guess Yoda did get scared and run away too. He's
that's what I'm
on
saying.
That planet. Wow.
Right. He just went ahead and hid. That's what they do. I'll make Yoda 3. Let's go Luke 4. I'll put Rey in the second spot because she came after a lot of stuff and at least she tried. At least she put some effort in and didn't give up in typical Jedi fashion. And then for 5, strictly because of the casting of Samuel L. Jackson, let's throw Mace Windu in there at number 5.
What about Kylo Ren?
He's not a full-blown Jedi, ever.
Oh.
I would never consider him a full-blown Jedi. He never actually became that.
Ah.
See, Anakin became a Jedi, then turned. Kylo Ren was all confused through the whole thing.
Okay. Can I give you my top 5?
Please do.
Number 5, Han Solo.
He's not a Jedi.
Number 4, Chewbacca.
Not a Jedi.
Number 3, R2-D2.
Nope.
Number 2, the Millennium Falcon. And number 1, Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, dear God. Oh, my Lord. Now I feel like I shouldn't even ask the question, but I need to because my curiosity's been up all day long. I still haven't asked what this hat is. You're wearing a hat with some sort of monkey head on it.
Oh, isn't it a cool hat?
It is a really nice logo. What is it?
It is, let me give this company a little bit of love because it is an Austin company, Haller Brothers.
Okay.
You can check out their stuff at hallerbros.com. I think they have a couple storefronts in town, one on West Lynn. There may be one on South Congress too. But yeah, Haller Bros is what it is.
Okay.
Just a monkey head on the hat. I needed a hat that I was comfortable wearing that wasn't necessarily repping a sports team.
Okay.
Because all I have is sports team hats at this point, mostly Longhorn hats, but I just wanted a regular hat that I could wear.
So what is it, like a hat store? A clothing store?
Clothing store, yeah. Okay. Hats, T-shirts, outerwear, shorts, board shorts, pants, They got some kids stuff. They have gear, accessories, stickers. But yeah, Howler Bros. Howler is a type of monkey. And so one of the logos that they go with is the monkey head.
I just fell in love with the Howler head logo that UFC pushes, the banana-infused whiskey. Their logo's awesome. Hey. You know, the shirt I have with the screaming monkey on it with the sunglasses?
Oh, I need to try and get one of those hats, too.
I don't know if they make hats. That'd be a cool hat.
What's
as well.
What's it called?
Howler Head.
Howler Head. But yeah, check out howlerbros.com. You're supporting local when you buy a t-shirt or a hat through them. It's a great company. Quality products, too. I've got a shirt with this logo on it that I'll be wearing next week.
That's nice. You need to tweet out that logo. People would like that.
Okay.
That's a cool logo. I was wondering if it was like some cool minor league baseball team I hadn't heard about, you know, the Sioux City Monkeys or something.
Yeah, you know what? Because of the racial connotation, we can't use monkeys as mascots anymore. Jeez. Look, I think it's a damn shame that racism
ruined
that.
As it was coming out of my mouth. Right as it was happening.
As all, I think it's a damn shame also, because monkeys are one of the coolest animals out there.
Oh, yeah.
But ignorant-ass racists have ruined this animal in our ability to talk about it in pop culture.
Yeah, you're right. All right, fair enough. It's a cool logo, though.
Thank you.
Shout out to the Howler Brothers and Howler Head Whiskey and anybody that's using those cool logos.
Howler Head Whiskey.
Oh, it's good stuff. All right, coming up, we'll get you stems and seeds. Before we get out of here, some updates around the NFL. Some people able to practice a little bit. Some people are going to have to sit a while. And good news, if you're a Cowboys fan, don't move. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Oh, I know where this is headed. Sounds good, doesn't it, Trey? Sounds good. Hang on. Not yet.
Heart.
Nope, not yet. Get ready. Here it comes.
Ooh. Oh,
there it is.
Geddy Lee, get out of here.
Man.
Get out of here, Geddy Lee.
Alex has got that bass rolling. Neil's killing it on the drums. I guess Lifeson's the guitar player. Geddy's got the bass hammering. And they are rocking. And then Geddy opens his mouth. And I'm done. I'm done. Can't do it. This is Free Will by Rush.
Limelight by Rush.
Limelight. My bad. Limelight. You're right. You're right. Limelight. No, I had it wrong. Shock. I had a Rush song wrong. It's not my band. Not my band. Years ago, somebody told me, if you meet a rock fan of a certain age, he's either a Zeppelin guy or he's a Rush guy. And they were definitely right about me.
Zeppelin or Rush?
I'm a Zeppelin guy.
Yeah.
Of those two.
Yeah.
I'm a Zeppelin guy.
I don't really want to know those who are Rush people out of those two.
Well, I've never met anybody that's equal on both. I've never met anybody that tells me, I love them both equally. I've seen them both 8 times live. No, you haven't. Stop it. All right, Isaiah, you never know where it's going to go. He ends with the Rush curveball. How dare you? In a show where you threw Sheila E. and Heart at the people and worked in all kinds of stuff, you're going to end with Rush. Are you a Rush guy? You like Rush? Are you doing that for me?
I'm doing it for the people.
Oh, for the people. I see. You believe the people want this.
Absolutely.
Okay. Fair enough. Also, Trey mentioned it earlier on the birthday front. He mentioned the Mark Hamill birthday. There was some big musical birthday, wasn't there today? No. There were some big Hollywood birthdays.
Okay.
Will Smith, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and Michael Douglas all have birthdays. Yes, Catherine and Michael share a birthday. 25 years is the age difference.
Do they?
Does everybody realize that? Michael Douglas is 25 years older than she is.
Good for him.
Good Lord. Scottie Pippen will be 56 tomorrow. He will not tip you for it.
No Pippen.
Central.
No Pippen.
No tip. Yeah.
There you go.
Central Arkansas is the old school, if you don't know. And I mentioned that Hubie Brown will be 88 tomorrow. My favorite basketball analyst. And he went to Niagara, in case somebody ever asks you that.
Niagara.
In the weirdest trivia game ever played. All right. Let's get you stems and seeds. And we'll start with Carson's stems. No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks. Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678 or avconsultations.com. Trey asked a perfect question earlier. Why isn't that Indy Tennessee line moving at all? Well, maybe they think Wentz can go because he is going to practice today. He's got everything taped up, both ankles heavily taped. As you asked, Trey, does that really matter? Or is it just going to turn him into like an ultra Byron Leftwich who can't move? We'll see. but he may be able to go. Otherwise, it's Eason and Huntley, and you got to think that's good for Tennessee.
That's a better option for the Colts than those two scrubs, for sure. I just don't know if it's enough to beat Tennessee.
The bad news out of the NFL today is for Christian McCaffrey. He's out at least three games because they put him on IR. That strained hamstring is bothering him. Here's some good news for Cowboys fans for Monday night. Randy Gregory has been back in practice, off the COVID list. And Mike McCarthy says he's looking pretty good. So maybe Randy Gregory is part of trying to get after Jalen Hurts on Monday night. Cowboys need pass rush. And pass rush we can recognize as fans because Lawrence is still out for, what, eight more games, whatever it is for him? His was 6 to 8 weeks, wasn't it?
Yes.
I can't keep all of them straight.
Yeah, I'm thinking Lyle Collins, who's going to be out for, what, another four?
He was five total, so I think he's four more.
All right, so yes, it's getting confusing what's happening on the line of scrimmage for the Cowboys.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Cowboys and Eagles on Monday night. Also, leaderboard at the Ryder Cup, still 3-1 for the U.S. U.S. up in two matches, tied in one, and Europe leads in a match. Mr. Scheffler and Mr. DeChambeau are up 1-8. Best of luck to the U.S. team there at Whistling Straits. You see that crowd at the Ryder Cup?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Whoa.
That is awesome
to see.
Pretty cool. People are fired up to root the U.S. on to victory. And by the way, there are a lot of Europeans who show up for this event too.
Yeah, there's some.
I saw that in Illinois. Gosh, it probably would have been about 12 years ago at this point, but it was impressive to see a turnout from both sides. There were more Americans in the Chicagoland area, but Europe was heavily represented. I would say like 40% of the crowd was Euro.
All right, before we get out of here, let me tell the folks about Coors Light one more time. Official domestic beer of the Texas Longhorns. Oh, I got some Coors Light waiting on me at home. Might have to bust one of those bad boys out tonight. 102 calories per 12 ounces, 0 grams of fat, 5 grams of carbs. Get stocked up for your watch party. You got kegs and eggs tomorrow morning with an early kick. Make sure you're stocked up tonight. And if you are too busy to get out, you can have it delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, reminds you to celebrate responsibly, get your DD, get your ride share, or do what I'm going to do tonight, drink where you sleep. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Big night tonight, Trey. Big night.
Yes, it is. Why is that?
My kid's going to see Deadpool for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Highly excited. I wore the Deadpool shirt today, which they bought me years ago.
Oh, that's what that is. I kept looking at that shirt saying, what is that shirt supposed to be doing right now? Because it's looking at me.
I had to make her wait till she was 15, not because of the sexual content, because I think she could handle that part. It's the violence in the movie, which it is. But she loves superhero movies. She loves gratuitous swearing.
And you said she takes after you, though, with the violence, though.
Right. She takes after me. She's not really into super violent movies. So I told her, let's wait till you're 15 and see kind of how you feel and how I feel about it and if you can deal with it. And tonight's going to be the night. She's got friends telling her she needs to watch it. Just the sense of humor that she's developed and the fact that she's into superhero movies. To me, it's maybe the most unique superhero movie ever made. I can't wait for her to see it.
When was the last time you were this excited to show her a movie? You showed her the Monty Python stuff yet?
No, we haven't gotten her into Monty Python yet.
Okay.
Let's see. There's been a few. You know what? It was a girly flick, but I knew she'd love it. My wife had the idea.
Notebook?
To show her. No, we haven't gotten there yet. Steel Magnolias was the last one.
Ooh, that's a big one.
Because we knew she was already into Fried Green Tomatoes.
Okay.
And I was talking to my wife.
She's an old soul.
Yeah, she is. I'm like, wait a minute. She dug Fried Green Tomatoes and she liked it with some other movie. I said, we have got to get her to watch Steel Magnolias. She'll love it. Julia Roberts and Dolly Parton. And she lost her mind for the Shirley MacLaine character.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last movie I was pumped about. And two scenes in, I knew it was a good choice.
Good.
So I've had a good run of knowing what I think she'll like and having it hit. And I'm on a pretty good run of getting them right. We'll see if I get this one right.
I feel like you're pretty safe with this one because I've actually seen the original Deadpool. I've only seen it one time, so it didn't make a huge impact in terms of what I can remember, but I laughed a lot, and I'm not a superhero movie guy either. You know that.
Oh, yeah, it is not your daddy. It is not your mom and dad superhero movie on any level. So that's going on tonight. You got any weekend plans other than post-game show after Texas and Texas Tech?
Yeah, post-game show. just kind of the standard stuff, going to the store tomorrow morning, going to play volleyball on Sunday, and going to glue myself to the couch to watch the Red Zone channel from about 12 to 6:30 on Sunday afternoon.
One great thing for us with an 11 a.m. kick is we do get to watch a lot of football. For me, it'll be doing some pregame, Bevo Boulevard. Bucky and I will be there at 7 a.m. Aaron and Rod are over there at 17th and San Jacinto at Texas Tailgarden. So you think Texas gets this done comfortably? 10, 14 points, something like that?
I've gone back and forth on this one. Right now, I'm feeling good about it. Even though Texas Tech does bring some experience and a certain physicality to the table, I don't have confidence in Matt Wells as being the guy at Texas Tech. I think he did a good job of following Chris Beard's lead of really purging the transfer portal to try and get better at a number of positions, including obviously the quarterback spot. But ultimately, I believe that he is limited as a head coach. Tech may not be making a change this offseason. I think at the latest, they will be making another change at their football head coach after next year. And this is part of that process, them coming into Austin losing by a couple scores.
I do hope you're right on that one. So both of us think A&M wins, but Arkansas covers, correct?
Yes. I'm tempted to take Arkansas to win this game, but I think ultimately A&M is good enough on the ground offensively, and their defense is good enough to keep the Arkansas rushing attack at bay, unlike what Texas did or did not do in Fayetteville 2 weeks ago.
And real quick, we both took Notre Dame plus 6.5. Do you think Notre Dame wins the game or Wisconsin?
No, I think Wisconsin wins the game, but Notre Dame covers.
That's me too. I think it's a field goal win for Wisconsin, but Notre Dame's going to ugly it up pretty good.
Good luck to your Bucks on Sunday. Big matchup.
Woo, that's a big one.
Looking forward to that one.
Bucks and Rams. Can't wait for that. Should be a great weekend. Rod and Kevin with RBKD coming up. We got high school football for you tonight. Snoop gets it cranked up at 6:30, and we're cranked up early tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. from Bevo Boulevard and Texas Tailgarden. Come on out and see us. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday. See ya!